Welcome to Window Seat, recorded live from the Line Hotel in Adams and Morgan, Washington, D.C. Broadcast on Full Service Radio and presented by Amila, at Adams Morgan Youth Leadership Academy, which is good information to have because we have Mr. Amila here with us today. I'm Chris Price. I'm your host. I have with me Mr. Francis.
Mr. Francis is back.
Yeah. You missed last week.
I had the flu.
And you recovered pretty strong. I checked on you that day and I don't know. You didn't sound like somebody had the flu. I said, yo, how are you doing?
Yeah, well, the first day I had it, I had to crawl into the doctor's office. But by the next day, I got a pretty strong immune system. And they gave me some medicine. And I had some leftover perks from when I broke my wrist. So between the two, I was ready to conquer the world.
So you missed an interesting show. I also have to say we got Jamal. Jack is not with us today. I was really hoping Jack was going
to
be here.
Shout out to Jack.
But Jamal,
just call me Black Inslee today. You know what I'm saying? Black, that's what I'm going.
But Jack, so this last show we had, I had some friends who were like into astronomy, and it was like really, really weird because we were talking at a level that was like really high. I was like, man, we're probably over everybody's head, and I was trying to bring it back down to earth. Mm-hmm. But when you get into that stuff, it gets kind of crazy. And my girl started googling my chart, and you know, I had conversations to be had because my Venus was in Gemini.
Right,
which is
I called
weird.
You and she was like, Omari, did you know Chris was a hoe? And I'm like, yeah, I knew that. I met him before.
Put you out there, bro. Yo,
you're an asshole.
I'm sorry, I wasn't supposed to say that.
You're an asshole, first of all. But yeah, I mean, listen, if your Venus is in Gemini, do not let your girl see your astrological signs because you're going to have some explaining
Most
to do.
Most people don't know what that is, but yeah. A lot of people are going
to
be Googling.
Yeah, Google your natal chart. Check out the last episode if you have a chance to. Forgive us because we were talking a little high. But it will strike your curiosity into what's going on in the astrological space. I kind of want to redo that show. But today, we're going to talk about, I guess, community organizing and dedicating your life to service and networking, because Nigel, Mr. Amila, who's a guest on our show.
What's your last name, Nigel?
Okunibi. Nigel Okunibi.
Okay.
It's Nigerian. My dad's from Lagos and Yoruba. So yeah, that's me.
But he seems to network better than anybody I know in the city.
Nigel is the coolest. Nonprofit, what are you, CEO?
Depends on the day. Some days I'm mopping the floor. Some day I'm, you know, sitting in the executive seat, man, whatever.
Right, because
you built it
from the ground up, right? You've done it all.
Pretty much, yeah, certainly that.
So when you're a nonprofit guru, you would think
our
of
budget
a,
don't say that, man.
You would think of a nerdy type person or somebody
that's
who.
That's what you think of?
Me, yeah. Honestly, I would think of a few things. It depends on what your nonprofit is, but you would think of somebody who maybe somebody you wouldn't want to go have a drink with. Like, they would be interesting because they would have a conversation. Because they would be cool to have a conversation with. But Nigel's a really cool dude. Like, somebody you look at and you're like, this thing is cool. Like, man. So, and the fact that he knows everybody, it seems like, man. The fact that you seem like you connect with people. I remember the last time we spoke to Nigel, and everybody that walked by, he knew their name.
My mother used to do that to me.
Right. And me and Chris commented that we were impressed that you could remember all these people's names.
Wow. Well, it's kind of funny. We really have like a family situation here. Like, this hotel is a really special project. And before I go into all of that, I really just want to thank you guys. Like, I am a big fan of the podcast. So you guys were impressed that I actually knew most of the shows. Like,
yeah,
I,
we didn't believe you actually listened.
Yeah, Miley don't listen to us.
Yo, he got better stuff to do.
I promise you that I listen to almost every podcast. The only one I haven't listened to yet is the last one. I just haven't gotten around to it, but I certainly will. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to say I've seen you guys grow leaps and bounds from the time you guys have started. And it really means a lot for y'all to have sort of stepped in, you know, and took this platform and just ran with it. Y'all are so low maintenance. It doesn't require a whole lot of, you know, work on our end. And so we're just really privileged to have y'all as the host, man. This has been
dope. Thank you.
Thank you.
Real talk.
But that's another testament to you because I know we talk offline, and this is a really good experience for us, like learning how to host a show, learning how to articulate a thought.
Wow.
Because I had no clue how lazy I was with it. Like, you just start a sentence and be like, fuck it, just figure out the rest. And you kind of, I don't know, give up on it. But now when someone's listening to you on this platform, you got to say your thoughts. So we're still learning.
Absolutely.
And you put us in this position to do that. So we appreciate that.
Oh, man, this is a, and shout out to Jack, man. I met Jack probably a year before the hotel opened. Mm-hmm. And I've just been really impressed. I mean, this is a really unconventional idea. Here we are sitting in a podcast studio in the lobby of a hotel, man.
Yeah.
And he really took this and really ran with it. So, man, shout out to Jack on the Full Service Radio Tip. They've been doing a really great job and making this a really unique project.
One thing you're going to hear people listening about Nigel is that he don't take compliments well. You throw him a compliment and it's going to fly right off him. He's going to send it in somebody else's direction.
Because that ego, man, that thing, you know what I mean? You drink the Kool-Aid and you threw, you know? And so they say never read your own press clippings.
Right.
You know, I mean, it keeps you grounded. And so for me, I just try to, you know, stay in that space. We'll talk. And there's so many people who have gotten us all to this point. My good friend Neil always says, you know, you got to acknowledge the past. That's a Dean Smith, legendary coach from the Tar Heels. And so I always try to acknowledge the people who've thrown me the alley-oops.
Right.
You know what I mean? I think that's critical. You know?
Well, that's, I think, a good segue. Nigel, give us a little bit of your history. What is your past? And
where do I start, man? If we're talking, you know, this neighborhood, you know, I got four generations in this neighborhood.
Adams Morgan,
no question. And I grew up in the Ritz, which is Jubilee Housing. It's a affordable housing community, or most people in the back in the day would have called it the projects, you know. But we grew up, you know, really poor by American standards, you know, but we had a lot of opportunity. You know, we had some really good youth programs that really gave us an opportunity to shine.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had a lot of exposure growing up. You know, I was tutored at the White House, you know, every week as like 14-year-old. So, you know, it was commonplace for me to be going into like the West Wing of the White House, working in David Gergen's office and meeting all kinds of senators. And, you know, when the Cowboys were winning the Super Bowl around that time,
ooh,
you know, we.
Yeah, I know, right? You know,
yeah, I'm a Washington fan, cold-blooded, you know what I mean? But at the same time, you know, you just got a chance. Like, I have pictures with, you know, Bill Clinton and, you know, the Cowboys and all these, like, different senators. You know, I'll just remember those opportunities all of my days, you know. And so I try to do the same thing for the next generation. And that's what sort of started Amila.
And D.C. wasn't. Adams Morgan, especially, wasn't
a whole different Adams
Morgan. Right. It was a different time and a different place than what it is today.
No question.
In my mind, I'm thinking, did other cities experience gentrification the way DC did? Because this is completely night and day.
It's night and day. And depends on the day, if you ask me. You know, I mean, I think it's certainly evolved. You know, there are some aspects of it that you really enjoy. We don't have the level of violence that we once did. Which is a great thing. But, mm-hmm. you know, the economic side, you know, is something in terms of closing the gap. That's something that at Amila we try to work very, like, intentional about, just sort of giving young people opportunities to develop economically, you know.
What was it like for you growing up in Adams Morgan back then?
Oh, well, you know, I've been through a lot. You know, a lot of my friends are no longer here, you know, either through long-term incarceration or, you know, many did not make it. Many were killed, you know. So that was commonplace growing up. And I'm not telling a story that everybody around here don't know.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's not like, it's not a thing. But I certainly went through a lot just sort of dealing with that and the traumas from all of that. And so we're now in a place where we're looking at the sons and the daughters of that generation. And projects like this one at the Lion Hotel really gives us an opportunity to, like, give people different options. I think about last year, 2018. Hotel opened, I think, December 19th or December 20th, 2017. we've been able to do some phenomenal stuff. Like, we gave away about $70,000 in scholarships to D.C. students for those who were doing, you know, 3.0 GPAs or improving one-letter grade in two or more classes. So those were like $250 gift cards that were given throughout the city, all 16 or 17 D.C. public high schools. It was a really big effort. But what we noticed with things like that is that young people, when they're incentivized, it just their academic career just sort of takes on a whole different life. And so we want to do that. And it was really like having the support of the Lion Hotel, that economic base that sort of allowed for that to happen. So we're working on a bunch of different projects. I'm really excited about what the future holds for the organization. But yeah, man, we've been at it for 10 years, so we're excited about it.
So what's your philosophy in creating real change in a young person's life, especially if they come from the background that you just described?
Wow, man, you have to find out what makes them tick. You know what I mean? Like, what is it? What is their thing? And then sort of help them navigate their way to that career path. And so I'm big on incentivizing things. Like, I raise boys and young men. So, you know, they're like, when they see that it's something in them for them, whether it's good grades or they really sort of step up to the challenge. And so for me, I try to do that with every young person, find out what their passion is, and then helping place them in that community, whether it be a coach, a mentor, an aunt, or uncle, you know, volunteer, whoever who can support them along that path. But we've been really lucky, man. We've got some great volunteers who are like really connected. And, you know, so one of the bad things about gentrification, it causes a lot of, you know, the things that we just talked about. But one of the things that I think from a unique perspective we've been able to do is really connect people from a different world to young people who are really urban. Because when you have folks who are coming from different worlds living literally next door to each other, so affordable housing project here, $1 million condo right next door.
Yeah.
Right? And nobody's saying, you know, everybody's just saying like coexist. Well, there are a lot of things and challenges that, you know, are sort of unspoken that start to happen from that, you know. And so we've been really good sort of communal buffer in terms of connecting people and really creating opportunities. That's where we feel like we're very unique. We're big on creating opportunities. Like, that's our thing.
What made you say there's a need here for Omila?
Like I said, that was a youth program that I was a part of. And it folded in 2007 after, like, years of service. Mm-hmm. And so you got to remember the time that we're talking about. In 2007, we're talking, you know, the greatest, you know, depression since, you know, I mean, the greatest economic collapse since the Great Depression. And so with a nonprofit, it's a unique business because you make your money by asking for it. Wow. 2008, it's not a good time to be asking people for money, talking mm-hmm. about you want to, you know, start a nonprofit. But we did. And, you know, 10 years into it, I'm, like, really grateful that we did, because we were able to be a part of projects like this and a number of other ones that really create a lot of opportunities for a lot of people.
How old were you?
When this one started?
Amali.
I was 27. I was much younger and much better looking.
But as a young person, 27 yeah. years old,
yeah.
Most young people aren't thinking about, I assume most gotcha. Young people aren't thinking about starting a nonprofit, helping their community. And I'm sure they don't know how much work goes into it. Did you know how much?
Nah, like, my friends laugh at me. All my good friends really know. They be like, nah, you're going to figure it on the way down. Like, figure it out. You're going to jump clean out the plane and figure it out. You know, and that's what we were able to do. You know, I was just like, okay, what document do I have to get next? Okay, what form do I need to fill next? You know, who do I need? Okay, now I need to create a board. What's that? You know what I mean? Like I really don't have any fear when it comes to, like, failing. And so for me, given our background, I feel like I didn't really have much to lose. So
my little brother is the exact same way.
Yo, hey, look, people try to beat that out of you, man. So, like, man, y'all need to nurture that. You know, I'm just giving, like,
because they scared for you, though.
No, absolutely, no, man. No. I admire it so much. Wow. Wow. I mean, today's the idea. Today's the idea. Yeah. Tomorrow, he's not sleeping because he's trying to figure out how to make it work.
Absolutely.
And he's going. Like, he doesn't have that. The most people, I feel like, their problem is they get caught up in a planning phase too much and they're never actually in motion.
Analysis paralysis.
Yeah, he's always in motion.
Absolutely.
No planning needed.
But when you look at most people who are successful, whether it be in business or leadership,
mm-hmm.
that's what it is. They take that initiative, you know, and they just figure it out. And, you know, so shout out to your brother, man. Like, when I find a young person who has that sort of ambition, I think that's a wonderful thing. You can really work with that. Somebody who's a little more apathetic is more of a challenge, you know, because you have to instill hope in that young person first and then start to, you know, help them grow. But you get somebody who's got the ambition. I don't care if they're a drug dealer. You'd be like, yo, I see what you're doing. It's awesome. You know what I mean? But look, here's another pathway to do to meet the goal that you're trying to meet. And once you do that, rather than like bad talk him for doing what he's doing, just sort of point him in a different or her in a different direction. And, you know, that's where the magic happens.
All right. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Amaile. We're talking nonprofits, community organizing. And we're talking to Mr. Amaile. So this is very significant for me and Amari because we're allowed this
opportunity. Yeah.
Through Nigel. Nigel, I'm curious about your, I want to call it your secret weapon because I feel like you have one. Like,
you got what, a few secrets. Yeah, I don't know if it's a secret. Yeah,
I want to know like, what talent is something man. You have, and I'm trying to figure out what is it. Every time we've met when Nigel's been extremely present.
Right.
And he seems like he communicates really well, but I want to know what you think your secret weapon
is. And your energy is always up.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. I mean, I've certainly had my dark days, but I'll tell you, you know, I've been through a lot. You know, I lost my mom, my brother, a lot of friends. Like, I have real traumas that I've had to deal with in terms of grief and loss and all of that that comes with, you know, growing up in poverty. But I'll tell you, I'm really optimistic because I see a lot of, you know, I'm a dad. My son is 18. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So for me, you know, I got to be optimistic, man. Like, I'm trying to create a better place, not only for him, but for that whole generation. And so when it comes to this neighborhood, it's just real. Like, I'm not faking it. Like, I can look him right, like, that's my man, Kosi, at the front desk right there. Like, this real. We right. live, right?
Yeah.
Kosi used to give me money at Lincoln when we went to junior high school for lunch. That's my man. He run the front desk now. You know what I'm saying? So, right. So, and this live, I can point to so many other people. So, for me, it's really passionate, like, because it's just real. You know what I'm saying? My sister is in HR. Like, I mean, we got a lot of great things that go on here. It's really like family here. You know what I mean? It really is a family atmosphere. And you look at the reviews, like the Line Hotel is up there with any hotel. You know what I mean? And in fact, I know a lot of developers who come to our little community events and all that and use this as a model for what they're looking to do in the future. So you know.
Are the hotels basically open the same? Because I know Eaton has the same thing.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Exactly.
I'm not hating. It's a beautiful hotel.
It's a beautiful hotel, man. Great.
It's the exact same thing. You know,
and you know what? I got to shout out my man, Brian Friedman. I got to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
10 years ago, I got a call from a developer. This is just how it went down. My man Brian, man. One of the most creative, brilliant minds I've ever met. Brian called me up. He was just like, yo, heard about your story, you know, starting this nonprofit. Look, I'm thinking about doing this development project in your neighborhood that, you know, that could bring a lot of jobs, that could give you space long term and potentially provide endowments for the organization financially. I was just like, okay, that's a meeting you want to take. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because at the time on my desk, the biggest thing was resumes. You know what I mean? Obviously, people were looking for housing, that kind of thing. So, you know, it took 10 years to pull it off. But for me, the experience of going to zoning, historic preservation, all these civic association meetings, like just almost being dragged with Brian going to these meetings and really sort of standing up for the community, man, I learned a lot. It's the greatest internship of all time because I really learned how to do large-scale development just from really just being in the room. You know what I mean? And so for me, when I look at the next chapter of my life, that's really where I want to go because I see how when you have an economic engine or an anchor like a hotel, mm-hmm. you can really do some positive things in the community.
We're going to write that down as a secret weapon, right. Being in the room.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, so we gotta get in the room. Yeah.
Nigel, I mentioned this to Chris about some of our past interviews,
mm-hmm.
and unfortunately, I have to start with you.
Let's go.
I'm not going to allow people,
because
I think it does our listeners a disservice when we allow our guests not to be clear and specific about some of the things that they've been through and overcome, because then it makes it seem like their path wasn't a typical path that anybody could
spit
take.
It out.
That anybody could take to get to just success or whatever they're trying to get to, right? So I know we talk about some of the things that you've overcome, but I want our listeners to hear some of the things that you've overcome. Real life things.
Real life things?
Yeah.
How real you want to get, man.
As real as you got. But no criminal activity or nothing like that. But
nah, man, I mean, certainly, you know, nothing violent, but, you know, I've been through, like, you know, a lot of stuff, you know. when you start a nonprofit, you know, and I've had my share of ups and downs. Like I said, I dealt with grief on a real level.
Because there's no income. Minimum income with a nonprofit.
Exactly. And so, but it's hard to raise money, especially if you don't have the social circles of folks who have discretionary income. You know, after they pay all their bills and go to the movies and all that, they give you $10,000, $20,000. You know what I mean? Like, there are not a lot of my friends who have that kind of, you know, they don't have that kind of income to be able to do that. And so you really got to put yourself out there. And once you get to that next tier and you just see, like, where the wealth is, you're like, wow, like, what have I got myself into? You know, and so you really learn a lot about economics and class and privilege and all of that. You know what I mean? So I'm still a student, man. I'm still learning every day. But in terms of the things that I've personally had to overcome, it's been real. You know, like, I got evicted. You know what I'm saying? Like, and this is a great story, actually. I think it's going to long-term be a great story because, you know, whatever creator you believe in, we had a meeting, I think it was like October something in 2016. The general manager for the hotel, Crawford, amazing guy, man. I learned so much from him. Just, he didn't want to sign all the checks in here. You know what I mean? So
right.
Crawford's a big deal. And you got to hear a little bit about his story. Y'all got to get him on the show. I met him, and he was just talking about, look, this thing's going to bring hundreds of jobs. Here are the things that are going to happen. Literally in this meeting. Well, I knew I had some backed up bills, you know, and I've had other residences and rental property and stuff like that. So, but where we were living at the time, I knew I was I was in a hole, you know, and money wasn't coming in because the project hadn't unfolded yet. Right after that meeting, we're talking hundreds of jobs. I get down the street. I was like, wow, my stuff real live, like outside. You know what I mean? Like,
and that's a busy street.
Yeah, it's a busy street. Hey, that's a busy street. You know, and so you're thinking about the biggest project literally of your life right here, and you're at your lowest point personally. So literally I had this big meeting about all these hundreds of jobs, and I got back to the house and there was my stuff, you know. And so that was a very sort of high end low point. But the great thing about that is the following year, you know, we were featured right here out here on the steps. Top real estate deal 2017. So you talk about evicted in 2016. Man, I don't know what creator you believe in, but man, I was like, wow. 2017, we sitting out front as like the top real estate deal in the city. So for me, you know, that was just a round. Now we're like on round two, round three, you know, and so for me, I'm really excited and optimistic about what's to come in the future.
I'm trying to be in the room. I need some of that good fortune, good energy to rub off.
You know, like, you know, everybody go through their stuff. And for me, like, I'm just like, you know, if you stay positive, you know what I mean, keep working hard, man, you know, that thing will break, you know. And this project is certainly a testament to that. Like, y'all could, like, don't believe anything I'm saying. We could walk the whole premises or the campus or whatever you want to call it. And it really is a good vibe in here. You know what I mean? From top to bottom. Last night we had a party really to celebrate the success with all the hotel employees. It was amazing. It was amazing.
Now, how come we don't get no invites to these parties, man?
We ain't having an interview no more.
Right.
We done.
You just said we got to be in the room, but you don't invite us to none of the rooms.
Hey, man, look, man. I got it. But it was an amazing, like, it was an amazing party, man. And, you know, I don't control those things. Like, yeah,
you know, right. You see how good
it is. They send Nigel an invite. I'll be like, yo, I'll be there. But we had a great time, man. And I'll make sure y'all get an invite to the next one. You can believe that.
And I definitely do believe that. I think that whenever we reach out to you and ask for something, yeah. I know I've asked you for things, and you like, whatever you need, I got you.
Yeah.
Even sometimes when we ask for a guest,
yeah,
you help us out. You give us somebody pretty good to come on the show.
He's giving us good guests. Yeah, all the guests that's come through, you've been good.
Oh, man, I was gonna say.
Oh, we got more.
One of the best guests we had was King Pensum. You guys grew up together, no?
Yeah, no question. Yeah, we did grow up together. That's my man. You know, he's a good dude. You know, and
he does strike me as a good guy.
Yeah, man. Like, you know, Slim's very passionate. You know, like, outspoken. You know, we grew up together.
Outspoken, yeah.
We grew up together. We've definitely been through some things together. And, you know, it's a good dude, man. We've certainly, you know, had our clashes just being young, you know what I mean? But, you know, I've learned a great deal from him, and he certainly learned a great deal from me. You know, so yeah, man. I'm glad. Y'all need to get him back on the show again, man.
We will.
If you've never been to this hotel, it's a beautiful hotel. It feels a little bit like, to me, I don't want to put in a container, but I feel like it's a little bit more hip than your traditional hotel. There's bars and restaurants all through here. I say that because if you have seen this hotel, you would think, wow, that'd been awesome to be on a development or just to be in a room.
Yeah.
So I'm curious what's next. Like, where are you still doing the real estate? Or are you going to continue on the Amila? Like, what's next for you?
Well, I really want to turn Amila into an institution. You know what I mean? Like, what I think happens far too often is we get, like, these really charismatic leaders. But when you're building something that's beyond yourself, you really want to have something that's sustaining for the long term. Make it a real, like, institution that can serve generations to come. And so for me, I really want to establish Amila as that. There are a lot of opportunities that come through our program. I'm amazed sometimes, just like, wow, man. You know, every day somebody's getting, like, put on in a situation and getting lifted out of a real-life jam, you know. And so I'm really excited to be, like, a vessel in that. But long-term, it's time to get some young, fresh energy at the helm. Because I'm realizing I'm getting older, man. I'm like, yo, like, you know, me and my son clash about what music is good all the time. And he's counting my grades every day, man. So I know at some point it's going to be time to turn things over and let the next generation run with it.
That's the second time you mentioned being a parent. What was it like raising a kid, especially going through the process of having a nonprofit where you're not making a lot of money and taking on this project, you said 10 years ago, to bring the line?
I mean, that's the greatest thing that ever happened to me. Now, anybody who knows me would be like, fatherhood was the greatest thing that ever happened to him. And Nigel was born when I was, 21? So that's my man, you know what I mean? That's my life. A lot of what I do is because of him, his older brother, Dontrell, his cousin, Delonte. They were all raised like brothers. And they're all, you know, doing really positive things now. I couldn't be more proud of each one of them. But Nigel, I've certainly seen since birth and raised him, man. He's doing amazing things. I'm really proud of him. Being a dad is, like, by far the most fun thing. He's, like, my best friend at this point. Like, Nigel, he the real deal. He the real deal.
You talk
like you do.
I guess.
You ever ask him about his kid?
I mean, you about, light up, man. I mean,
ask him about his sons, then turn around and ask him about his daughter.
Whoa. You get a really you have any girls, Nigel?
Nah, man. You know, God didn't. You know, I ain't get that blessing yet, man. We'll see what unfolds. You know,
it's definitely a different.
You know, my boys all had. Well, a lot of my friends had daughters, man, and I just see the difference, man. You have to use almost a different. I mean, we just full of testosterone in my house, you know.
Yeah.
So we can do, you know, go to the body or go out and play football or basketball. Everything's a competition ever since he was little. With girls, I think you got to use a different aspect of yourself.
Yeah.
You know, more often than not.
And then for me anyway, being young with boys, you know, you still want them to be tough.
Yeah.
And then as they get older, you realize that they might be challenging you a little bit, so you gotta, you know. But with a girl, it's like, you a sucker, man. Like, there's no tough in you.
I can imagine, man. And shout out to, like, all the fathers with daughters, man. Like, the one great thing about this generation, particularly among my friends, they're all phenomenal fathers. You know, Slim, you know, my good guys, Mike, Lamar. Like, I can just sit here and name a lot. Larry, I can name so many of my best friends who are really great fathers. And I don't know what happened with this generation, but we seem to have gotten a memo in terms of the fatherhood aspect, and people are really stepping up.
That's good. How does it feel to walk around Adams Morgan and see, I guess, a community that you had a large part in bringing to what it is today?
Wow, man.
Which I may probably the crown jewel be in the Line Hotel.
That's high priorities right there, but...
Would you, and this is an opportunity for you not to be humble. Would you deny that, though?
you know, it comes a lot of, you know, what they say with with great responsibility, you know, to whom much is given, much is expected.
Right, right.
And we've certainly been given a lot, and the expectations for me are real high. You know what I mean? Are real high. So I just try to deliver as much as I can when I can. And I've gotten better as I've gotten older, just, you know, letting go of outcomes and just giving it your best shot and, you know, let the chips fall where they may.
So how does it feel to walk around?
It feels good when you see that somebody's life changed, either through an opportunity that was created or a conversation that was had, and you just know from the ground up how that opportunity was created, and you see literally how that economic opportunity changed their life. That make you feel good. That's the high that you get, even if you don't get the paycheck, even if you don't get the funding. Like, we ain't been funded by the government in 8 years. I want to say that again. What they say, you take that back, Turbo. Hey, look, we ain't been funded in 8 years, so we literally had to go get it out the mud, man. And, you know, we, you know, thankfully we've been able to sustain ourselves. We definitely, you know, have a challenge, you know, from a budget standpoint, but in terms of the will to get the work done, yeah, people know us for delivering.
Have you taken a step back to say, look at what I've accomplished, or do you see yourself still working?
I'm still working, man. Like, still, we got so far to go. You know, if it was a scoreboard, man, we down. You know, so we got a lot of work to do, man.
Where are you going?
What do you mean, where are we going?
You said you still got so far to go. Where's the destination? What's the goal?
I mean, one of our young people said it best. She said, every neighborhood needs an Amila. And that's a high expectation, but it's one that to me is a good goal. And so for communities that are, you know, experiencing gentrification and this opportunity and economic gap, you know, why not put one in every neighborhood where that's happening? I mean, we're a great communal buffer, man. We bring people from all parts of the different world, different socioeconomic classes, backgrounds together, man, in the best interest of a kid. And, man, that's where our magic has happened. So we want to continue doing that. Hopefully we're able to take it, you know, to a different place going forward. That might not be my journey. That might be for the next person coming up, though, you know.
Nigel got money written all over him. He don't know how to say it. He got money written all over him.
Wow, man. I don't know about that, man. But I've been around some really good people, man. They're people who really invested in me, like with their time, with their energy. Shout out to my man, Jim Marsh. He just invested in our entrepreneurship program. And so we really had to lean on people who really believe on us, you know, and we've been really, like, lucky because, like I said, we don't get any government funding. And so you really got to lean on good people who really believe in what you're doing. They say people fund two things. They fund good people and they fund good ideas. And we've been really lucky to have been considered both. So we'll see what happens going forward.
Well, you've always struck me in the time that we've met as a very humble person. And I can say that the people close to me, because we know similar people.
Yeah, Lou, absolutely.
Yeah, she always
speaks. She's amazing, man. You did well, bro.
I got lucky. Yeah,
I got lucky. He got lucky.
Yeah. Fuck you.
She's like a gypsy, man. Like, I fear her, man.
But she, in my opinion, is a good judge of character.
Absolutely.
And, you know, when you're not around, she speaks about your character.
Wow.
And I think even in this interview, it comes across that there's a spirit driving that comes from some place of love, community, wanting well from people, putting them in the best positions to succeed.
Yeah.
It just seems like it's become your life work. I'm curious if that's it going forward. But I think that's in part what helped make – that's what I'm taking from this. That,
wow, man.
That's what made you. That's why you're sitting in a radio station that you helped, you know, put together.
Wow. And that's high praise, and I appreciate it. You know, my why is much bigger than the how or the what. Or, like, my why really drives me. Like, you know, there's some promises of people who've come before me that I really want to deliver on. You know, I think about Kevin Bradford, Mr. and Mrs. Jackson. I think about Stan Murray. I think about, these are all African-American people who were Walter Pierce, who were giants in this community and really did great things for young people. And now we have the opportunity to sort of build on their work. They've all passed on. So I know, you know, we on the clock.
Right.
And we're looking to deliver. So, and we don't really do excuses. So whether you got the funding or not, you got to do the work. And so, and that leads to creativity. And so we just figured out a way. But this hotel, man, let's talk about this. This is a $120 million project. You know what I mean? I think more than that, actually. All projects go over budget. So, but just last year, in the first year, 300 plus jobs. I think it was like $3.6 million in tax revenue. I mean, that this was a dilapidated church for like 20 plus years.
Now just sitting here.
Just sitting here. So think about the genius mind like a Brian Friedman and others who see that kind of opportunity. Like, I saw this thing when it was on a napkin, bro, like straight up. Like, they pitched this thing to me like on a napkin. This is what we're thinking. And so I see people sitting in the seats of something I saw 10 years ago on a napkin. That's vision. You know what I mean? That's vision.
How does that feel to be, to have a nonprofit, as you said, to be sitting behind a desk, not expecting a phone call, and the next minute you're in a meeting with, I guess, some pretty important people?
I mean, we were fresh out the gates. We had just started.
But they're pitching the idea to you, and they're asking you what you think and how you can help them. I'm sure when you were in that position, you didn't think that they would be coming to you asking you for help.
Hell nah.
I mean,
I was like, little old me.
Yeah.
Like, we fresh out the gates, you know? And so, I mean, it's funny because we've done great projects since, and they've really continued to invest in me. And so shout out to them, like, and their teams and all the people that I've met through, like, a lot of great people here. But it's been able to create economic opportunity for a lot of people. Again, we don't get no funding.
Why are you not going into politics?
Politics?
Yeah, because it seems like you got the tools to be a really great politician.
Listen, man, I got no political ambitions whatsoever, man. I hate meetings that are more than 25 minutes. I can't imagine sitting in, you know, meetings for hours and hours and hours. But I do know what it means to speak your truth to power and to, you know, when that gets to the right ears, man, you're able to do some phenomenal things, man. And so that's what I want to keep continuing to have young people do, speak their truth to those in positions of power. And hopefully we're able to get some gain some ground on this thing, man.
I feel like we're coming up on our time. But I notice you keep asking Phil questions. I'm wondering what resonates with you with feeling. You notice that too, Nigel?
What's that?
Amari, you keep asking how does it feel?
Because I didn't notice I was doing that. So if I had to think about it quickly, and I would say it's because I think about myself maybe, and I put myself in your shoes, and I think, damn, it must feel
you
good to
know.
Like what it feels like. Honestly, you would like to be in the positions that you describe. You would like to have the opportunities, be in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're not there and you imagine yourself there, you think about, or I think about, what it would feel like. I think about, personally, I think about accomplishing great things.
Yeah.
And in those thoughts of me accomplishing things, I think about it would feel good to walk down, you know, Columbia Road and be like, smash it. Like, the crown jewel of Adams Morgan now is the hotel that wouldn't be here if it. Nigel, you could say that.
That's great social capital. Can't pay your bills with social capital. You know what I mean?
Those are accomplishments.
Oh, no doubt, man. Listen to me, man. Like, I'll be honest with you. Like, I feel really good about what we've been able to do, man. Just given the fact that we've done a lot of it on a shoestring budget. Like, there are days where I feel elated, literally. You know, when I walk around here, people treat me very well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And
I appreciate it, but we put the work in. It ain't like we cheated the process, you know? So for me, man, I just know that the work continues. I try not to drink the Kool-Aid. I just know that we got to keep our heads down, keep working hard, man.
You keep saying we, and you've named a lot of names.
Yeah.
But I know. There wasn't a whole lot of we when you was doing Amala. And I keep mentioning Amala because Amala connected you with it, the line.
Yeah.
What would you say is your greatest accomplishment?
Being a dad, man, number one. Like, that's number one. Everything else comes after that. You know, when I look at my son, man, I really look up and be like, wow. I had something to do with that. You know what I mean? Like, and so certainly that. And shout out to his mom. She's phenomenal. Connie Britton, man. She's amazing. She really allowed me to be a dad, the kind of dad that I needed to be. So I really appreciate her. But yeah, man. Like, that's the greatest. And then everything else comes after that.
So I have to apologize to you, Omari, because we had that one show in here that I don't think ever hit the internet.
Yeah.
But sure. I asked you your accomplishments, and that was your first. I was like, that's not an accomplishment.
Oh,
just hung around.
Hey, Chris likes to shit pussy on too long.
I mean, this one feels really good. You know what I mean? And, you know, we just in round one. We're going into our second year, you know. And so, you know, we have a permanent space here.
Right.
We pay $1 per year in rent.
Oh, don't say that out loud.
Oh, yeah.
No. I mean, it's amazing, though.
So they put us in a position where we can succeed long term. So we're really... You know, all the overhead that most organizations have in terms of brick and mortar, we don't have those. You know what I mean? So we're really lucky, you know. And so we're now in a position where we feel like we can be successful long term, where those dollars that donors give are now going to direct services.
Start
as opposed
giving.
To, yeah, start giving. There's the plug, right? Yeah, like those dollars that donors give, they can now like go to direct service, you know, and really like impact real change. Like, we don't have a lot of the brick and mortar calls, so we're really lucky in that aspect.
Something that resonated with me, you said just a little while ago that the why was always the most important.
Definitely. You'll figure out the how if your why is great enough, you know.
So after 10 years, right?
Yeah.
Part of me while saying this is asking myself, why does that resonate so much? Because I think in my mind I acknowledge the battle within myself where I can go have a job, take a check, and sustain my living, or I could go do what I want, the why, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So to me, it takes courage to do that. So I'm always in admiration when I hear somebody do something that takes that type of courage. But after 10 years, knowing what it's like, where you've been to get here, is the why changed at all, or is it the same?
I think at a base, it's this, you know, it's the same. Like, I think about my relatives who have passed on, and so that really motivates me a lot. Trying to make them proud, and also the homies who are not here, that certainly has given me a lot of motivation. But my why certainly has changed. Like, this next generation, like, the world is different, even from when we started a mile of 10 years ago. And so this next sort of evolution of young leadership, man, it also has to change. And so for me, it's about grooming that, you know, and just allowing them to be themselves, allowing them to be creative, allowing them to have ambition and hope, and just really nurturing that and pushing it forward. So my why is right now, I think it's a lot different than when I just wanted to do something good at first. Now I understand the business and the politics of it. And so I think my why is certainly like evolved. Certainly that. There are a couple of people I feel like I got to acknowledge before, you know, we do our thing. I want to ask y'all 1,000 questions, to be honest.
Oh, no, go ahead.
No. We ain't got time.
One day somebody got to get y'all on the spot. But I'll tell you, I got to shout out Mamuna Youssef for, you know, that, like you mentioned Lou, like these are people who've been behind the scenes that made big things happen for us. You know, like she started out the podcast.
She killed.
You know what
she
I mean?
She killed.
Right off the top. You know what I mean? And that's what she does with everything she touches. But she's amazing. And so shout out to her for like really giving, you know, the podcast a real life in the early going. And you guys did a phenomenal job taking that torch and running with it. And then Lou, of course, like she really helped design a lot of the look and, you know, and really like she has a really creative mind, you know better than anybody, and it's really sort of helped sort of shape the program, man. So I've been really blessed, man, to just be around really great people who are really about the work, man. And so we hope we're able to continue attracting that energy, bro.
You got anything, Mr. Francis?
Nah, I think every time I talk to Nigel, yeah, I feel like I'm better for it. Like I've learned something. I've taken something. And I know what I definitely got from this interview today. One of the things I got was how you always mention other people. You, as I said before, you're really good with names, but you make it a point. You probably said about 15 different people's names.
I got more. I think I knew. Shout out to the Sadell Group, the development team.
But I think Jack. I think that's important because I don't know. No one gets anywhere by themselves.
Yeah.
And when you hear people's story, they often talk about what they've done and how they've overcome, but they had help along the way. And I think that acknowledging those people keeps you humble, and it also pays great respect to them.
I think that's important to acknowledge that lineage and the people who help pave the way for you. Like, because we're everybody, you know, when you 20s and you think you did it on your own. Like my son right now think he do everything on his own, you know.
Yeah.
And so like that's just part of the development. But you know, I'm getting older and wiser, and I'm starting to acknowledge all the things that had to happen for me to get just to this point. And the future looks bright, man. So I'm really excited about it.
Yeah.
Big time.
And you do it publicly, too. You don't even just doing it to that person and saying, thanks, thank you. You let the whole world know.
Oh, nah.
So-and-so.
They cut the check. You know what I mean? Well,
it ain't about the money always.
It's about the water.
No.
It's about the water.
Now, when I say that, I'm being, you know, funny. But no, but for the people who really invested in what we're doing, man, I really appreciate them. And so it ain't about money at all. Like, it really is about like impacting young people's lives. And I challenge anybody to really ask the people, and especially in this community, they'll be like, stamp, Amala did, you know, look out for this or that or this or that. Like, so don't believe anything that I'm saying. You can go ask the people if you like, and they'll be able to tell you. I feel pretty strong about that.
All right. Well, I would say we definitely learned a lot just in how you carry yourself. I think I don't know. I like to pay attention to those type of things, especially people who are doing important things, and also the spirit from which all this energy comes from. So we appreciate you for that.
Wait. Yeah. Are you about to close?
Yes, I was.
We didn't ask him our question.
Oh, come on.
If you had a... Go ahead, Chris.
Well, I guess he wants to know if you had anything to give anybody to help inspire them.
Find out your why. Find out your purpose. You know, I think that's the biggest thing, man. When you find out, I mean, we're all here for a reason.
Right.
And I feel like, you know, it's life's mission to find out what that reason is. You get what I mean? And when you find that out, man, you match that with hard work and work ethic and, you know, good people around you, like magical things happen. And so, like I said, make that why bigger than your how. And I think you'll figure it out. I honestly do.
And have the courage to follow that, I guess.
No question.
Let me tell you, man,
it's going to be some ups and downs, you know. Like, I don't know what tomorrow brings, but I don't fear it in the way that I once did, you know. So a lot of reps of doing that. Like, somebody can come with a business idea today. Whether it fails or succeeds, I'm going in it 1,000%.
Okay, well, I got one. I know who I'm talking to. I got one for you.
It's all good, man. We'll do it off air, man. But yeah, definitely, man. I'm elated, man, and I'm really excited. And thank y'all, man, for really representing the organization well. This Amala thing is much bigger than Nigel. Like, much bigger. And I'm not just saying that. Like, I want to create something that is self-sustaining, that can go for the long term. And you guys are very much part of that family. And so I really appreciate it. Like, I'm telling you, I'm a fan. Like, you name the episode, I could tell you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'd be listening, like, real live, you know?
We definitely appreciate you, Nigel. I know when we were talking about doing our intro, it was important to us to make sure we mentioned Amala at the top of our intro every episode. So
we're
definitely thankful and appreciative of you giving us the opportunity to do what we want.
I know people like, man, they just going to keep. Nah. But it's real. It's real. It's a lot of appreciation, a lot of love, man. I appreciate y'all big time. And shout out to Jack again, man, for giving this platform to tell our story.
And Jamal, thank you. I know you didn't really jump in and ask me questions, but you can also catch Jamal.
Oh, I'm just soaking it up, man. I'm just soaking it up. I know a little bit about this neighborhood, too. You know what I'm saying? So it's just good to sit back and see things coming like full circle and the line committing to a lot of the ethos that they said they would, you know, just by being community-based and upholding that in such a genuine way.
That's a fact.
I'm just learning. I'm sitting back learning today. So thank you.
So thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
And if you actually want to hear Jamal talk a little bit more, catch him on Late Bloom, also on Full Service Radio. Thank you for joining us or having us.
For sure. Thanks, everybody.
Peace.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is H to the OV. I used to move snowflakes by the OC. I guess even back then you can call me CEO or the ROC. Fresh out the frying pan into the fire. I be the music biz number one supplier. Flying in a piece of paper, bearing my name. It's got the